Welcome to another Ask the Experts teleseminar, an educational series designed to keep you abreast of what's new in the field of natural health. These events are sponsored by Altwaters Technology and Green Healthcare USA, with a special commitment to the truth, wherever we may find it. This is Carol Kepler, your host, inviting you to put your phones on speaker, lean back, and enjoy the next 60 minutes with Dr. Nicholas Meyer, a very special kind of dentist who is well known for his work in a relatively new field of dentistry. I think you're going to like what you're going to hear in the next hour. Online from his office in Scottsdale, Arizona, Dr. Nicholas Meyer. Dr. Meyer, we've been looking forward to having you on the show tonight.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
And you're going to have to get a little closer to the phone.
Okay. Well, thank you for inviting me again.
Thank you for being here again. We call this show Biodentistry, It's Time, for one reason. There are a lot of folks out there who don't realize that there are dentists and there are dentists. You chose biodentistry. Tell us what's so different about biodentistry and a regular, everyday kind of dentistry.
That's a question I get asked frequently, and the answer is driven by the philosophy of the discipline. By that I mean, when you have an intention to do a certain thing, you will accomplish that thing most of the time. If you don't have an intention and you start to embark upon an endeavor, then you're just running on, say, an automatic pilot without an intention. So, for instance, with respect to placing an amalgam filling, a mercury filling in somebody's mouth compared to one that's not mercury containing, or one that is a material that you have tested to see if the compatibility issue for that person is that it's the highest good for that person. Now, that sounds a little circumscript, I think.
No, but I think I know what you mean.
It's a matter of are we placing a restoration that is for the best and highest good of that individual? Or are we doing a restoration just because we were taught that's the way to do it in dental school?
And this is using the word intention big time now. And so I think a lot of people are understanding that. What led you to the decision to do this type of dentistry?
It's something that just came over a period of years. And I finally had to make a stand when I was being torn between, say, the old world and the old way of doing some things compared to a newer way, a different way, a way being driven by philosophy and my personal beliefs. And that occurred in the early 90s when I made a final stand and kind of came out of the closet, if you will.
I like that.
From a dental standpoint.
Had you been through dental school? Were you as you got started, was it along the same path as everyone else? When exactly did you make that decision? What was the turning point?
Well, as I said, I began to say it was when I graduated school, I was as everybody else was. I was spoon-fed. I was brainwashed. I was spoon-fed that what they wanted me to know. And I came out a little bit of, used the term knowledge arrogance and thought that I knew everything there was to know because my school was the best, and by golly, they were going to teach me only the best. And I didn't have any room for anything else. Well, a few years into that mindset, I then came across a book called The Cancer Industry by Ralph Moss. And that was a huge eye-opening book on how what was out appearing in the world is not what it is appearing to be behind the closed doors. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a major thing for me when I read that as a young practitioner. I also heard that maybe mercury fillings weren't such a good idea. So I just kind of filed that away. It says, I wonder why. And then I had some experience with a woman who worked for me, came down with MS while she was working for me, and she ended up quitting. And she went out to the Las Vegas clinic and saw Dr. Fuller Royal. He sent her home with a whole bunch of instructions, and then there was a whole sheave of paper talking about what teeth were related to what body parts, and the teeth were called odontons. So I kept that paper, and I looked at it, and I says, this is really different, and I didn't understand anything about it, so I just kept it and filed it, and I took out her fillings and replaced them with the prescribed restorations that were on the paper in the order and the sequence that were suggested. I said, this is a whole different way of looking at what dentistry is about, and I need to know more about this. So it took me a little while to get there, but subsequent to that experience, I got involved in treating jaw disorders and using energy medicine at the time to me now a rudimentary form using a TENS unit and using electromyography to assess the biological status of an individual. So when we use those in school, we're looking really from a research standpoint, but now here it was out in the real world, and I was actually able to use that what I was exposed to in school actually for the application of helping people that suffered from head, neck, and facial pain disorders. So then I moved out here to Arizona. I was in just had joined a new practice, and then I'm not sure if there was any one precipitating event that I ended up making a declaration that I was a holistic dentist. And I was not able to do the types of things that I had been, such as the mercury fillings, and I had let root canals basically go by the wayside also at that time. So
how many years ago was that?
That was around 91, 92.
That's probably when I got to know you.
So it's a long, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that brought us, through the years and, just learning. And now with that declaration, certainly the universe moved, and I started receiving literature from organizations that had that supported that point of view. The International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology, the American Academy of Biological Dentistry, and the Holistic Dental Association, and there was another one, the Environmental Dental Association. So these started to become now more on my radar than the traditional, still common today, ADA brand of dentistry.
Dentistry is kind of a tough profession, in my opinion. I'm thinking there are a lot of people out there that dread having to visit the dentist, and you are doing things differently. How did they find out about you?
Well, primarily,
I don't think
there
you really advertise that much.
There are three methods that people find us. One is deliberately and by intention on the internet. They're out looking for a certain type of practitioner to fulfill their certain kinds of needs. So they go online, and with the advent of the internet, it's opened up self-research across so many, it's no longer just a local geographical area. People around the world can search on
That's
the
right.
internet no matter what time, day or night, and what time zone they're in. So people find me. We regularly get inquiries from people in Europe, because they're looking for the same kind of things people here in the United States are looking for.
And they're
willing to travel. We have an Ask the Doctor section on our website, for instance, and people can ask up to three questions And then we're pretty prompt in responding. Usually within 24 to 48 hours, we'll have an answer back to them.
You do that online?
Yes, it's all done by online.
Oh, everything's done. I like that.
Yes, so that's the first way.
Oh, I'm sorry. Let's hear two and three.
Yeah, so the second and the third way are the word of mouth, people that have had experiences that they are willing to share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a tried and true type of thing. And then the third way is within the local geographic area of the Phoenix metropolitan area, I'm in the holistic health directory that Stan Kelson puts out. And then I've been on, I do some talks over at local health food stores and in Phoenix as well as in Scottsdale. And I've got one on Thursday night coming up.
Oh, you're a busy guy. You know, I'm thinking back, I came to you again because I was using a dentist who was going over my mouth for a checkup, and she told me my daughter had worked for her, so, you know, I really felt I knew her. She told me I needed to have my gums planed, and to that, I think I remember that that was a kind of a cut-and-stitch kind of stuff. So I looked at her and I said, I think I'm going to get a second opinion on the things that you're telling me. And so I came to you and had you do another survey of my mouth as a second opinion. And I didn't mention my gums, and you didn't mention them either. And so when I told you about another dentist needing wanting to do that for me, you said that there was nothing wrong with my gums. They were tight and pink, and I was very relieved. I knew I didn't have to have that done. So I wonder how many people don't know that they can get a second opinion, because we have people come to us who are so ill, and we do, of course, we do energy medicine, that are so ill that and they kind of have attributed it to dentistry, and they are not knowing what to do. And up until just recently, actually, I should tell you, to doing my research to do this show for you, that I didn't really have a clue either. So I'm so pleased that we have had this opportunity, because I now am better able to help my people, because I see that there's a lot of things going on in the mouth that are causing all kinds of things in the body. And you see it from your side also, don't you?
Oh, very much so. The excuse me, fundamental ideas that I have puts dentistry at the center of a person's well-being regarding their health care.
Beautiful.
If they have ill-being stemming from something going on in the mouth, it translates into almost anything can be happening in the body because of things which are happening in the mouth.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. I did hear years ago that, and took it to note, that the heart problems could start in the teeth, and it was because bacteria would leach out of from the teeth and gums, and they're very close to the heart, and so there was a lot of trouble there. I did therefore know that much, but that's about, you know, about the extent of what I was what I was working with at that time. I'd like to get some straight answers for some tough questions, if you don't mind.
That's why we're
so
here.
I like to start with mercury. We keep hearing that mercury is toxic, and everybody knows that is a fact. But they continue to allow dentists to put mercury in their teeth without giving them much flack. What's up?
Well, ignorance. Ignorance is, I believe, at the root of it. And
bliss.
Ignorance is bliss. The part of it, too, is that the American Dental Association is a quasi-governmental agency. It is huge, and it espouses mercury. The American Dental Association, ADA, is a trade organization that owes no duty of care to the individual person, on the man on the street, in other words, those going to a dentist for care. The American Dental Association is there primarily for the benefit of the dentist. It's a trade organization, and their customers are their member dentists. So they
like
have
unions.
It's kind of like a union, but you don't have to be a member. But they certainly are large enough that they hold sway over so much government opinion and control with the FDA that it's it makes it almost, that's why I say it's a quasi-governmental institution. Mm-hmm. So with respect to mercury, again, now many of the people going into an office don't just have a clue. They're not educated. We have on the books in Arizona a law which mandates that a doctor provide to an individual, a patient coming for care, a person coming for care, a fact sheet regarding mercury fillings and other fillings that then they are supposedly allowing that individual to make a better choice for their own personal care.
That's a step forward.
That's a step forward. That's been on the books for, I think, over 10 years now. And I dare say not very many offices actually follow the law, for one.
I think you're right.
And secondly, most of the practitioners that you go to, like the lady that you went to, that you're describing, was of the mind that there's nothing wrong with a mercury filling. And that is,
I didn't even ask that, and I knew.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's when you're able to hide behind the organized body of the American Dental Association, which says there's nothing wrong with mercury fillings, except in a small number of population. When I got out of school, it was 10%. Now it says it's less than 1% of the population. So I don't quite know how that changed. We're not either that much healthier or that much more resistant, or this changed the figures to make the problem not so big.
I think it was your third assumption.
So with that, Carol, the mercury issue is, the fact is simple, is that mercury leaches from the filling through a vapor form 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. More of it is released when you have hot beverages, when you do some kind of action to the filling, such as brushing your teeth, or you have acidic food, which causes it to have a slight dissolving action, and there's a chemical reaction which causes more to dissolve. So that's the major route. Then you have other routes, such as the filling, as it's sitting in your tooth for years and years and years, expands three-dimensionally within the body of the cavity hole. As it's growing out of the tooth, just like when you freeze water, it expands, so the mercury filling expands out of the tooth. When you're eating through the normal course of your day-to-day activities, the material is somewhat like concrete compared to steel. So it's strong and it's hard, but it's brittle. So it fractures, the pieces fracture, and you then ingest the small pieces. Pardon me. So when you're ingesting, that's another route then. So you're actually ingesting those small pieces of mercury. And then those particles of mercury can be converted from the inorganic to an organic form of mercury by the bacteria which are in the mouth and in the gut. And that's called methylation. So when that mercury becomes methylated, it becomes more dangerous to the biological system. So it's not the inorganic mercury itself that's the problem. It's when it gets in to become part of your biological system. Mercury does have a way of mucking up your enzymes. It will attach to an enzyme, and it will disable that enzyme. So you may have, it's to use kind of a, there's nobody home. So you see the enzyme there, but it's inactivated or marginally active because it's got the wrong component metal on a binding site, so it's not got the proper configuration in them. And you then get enough of these over a period of time, and you have these system breakdowns. You have some of the different parts of the organ, such as the kidneys or the liver or the gut, start to have malfunctioning. And when they malfunction, you don't work well.
And I have seen that, and no matter what the people do, medical or natural therapies, they can't get well. They can't get well. There's always something missing. And I knew enough about mercury that when we put together our formulas, we have electroceuticals, water-based, all natural. When I put that together, the first thing I did was put in a neutralizer for mercury. So that I say to my people, you don't have to get your fillings out, because every time you take a drink of your quart of water every day with the detoxifiers in, after the body is once cleansed, which is this is the end product, is just preventive medicine, the mercury is cleared every day. And so I can check myself as an intuitive, energy intuitive, and my mercury level is Radical Wellness 100%. Don't have it, and I still have those kinds of fillings, as you well know. Actually, this is, if I know we can work with it in our formulas, and so people are coming to me with these kind of, all kinds of health challenges, and that one I have taken care of. One that I haven't taken care of is electrogalvanism that I just discovered. And I kind of had an idea, that such a thing did happen. But like you said, it's, it's way back in my mind someplace. But what I just did recently, I took six of my people who had trouble getting well, and I checked them for electrogalvanism. And on my scale of negative 10, where you don't want to be because the cells are outputting little or no energy to live or to repair, to a positive 10, which is homeostasis, good, all six of them had electrogalvanism. Big time, negative 9 to the 10th, almost a negative 10. That's a huge one too, isn't it?
It can be for the individual, and that's an overlooked and underappreciated component of one's well-being.
It's
and that
scary.
Ties into so many of the materials which we use in the mouth and how they influence the balance of the rest of the body.
I saw a list in my research of what electrogalvanism can do. Let me just tell you some of them. It is so scary. Concentration and memory. How many people have that problem? Insomnia. Oh my gosh. Hearing loss. Psychological problems. Tinnitus. Vertigo. Epilepsy. Eye problems. Food sensitivities. Weight loss. Jaundice. MS. Yeast overgrowth. Sensitive to light, noise, and electromagnetic radiation, which is short-circuiting of the body. Oh, my dear Lord, I can hardly believe it. People come to me with those things.
Right, and then we add a big dose of ever-increasing electromagnetic fields that we live in with cell towers and the like, our cell phones and wireless communications, etc.
Exactly.
That we are bodies are doing all they can to try and maintain a level of homeostasis.
And people are frightened to death. They have tried everything. They don't know where to go and what to do anymore.
Yeah, it's a big problem. And
I see
it
very
often.
One
of the things. Well, we see it all the time. It's just how it's showing up for that individual. I believe, and I've seen this, the people that get better when we remove their mercury fillings, like within 24 hours, the biggest change has to be attributed to the electrogalvanism, because you are not removing enough of the mercury from the body itself. You're only removing one of the seed sites. So it's got to be an electrogalvanic response that you're getting, which is affecting intimately your autonomic nervous system when you're having that change going on.
And how do you deal, or do you deal with the mercury that is systemic at that point?
We encourage people to see here in Arizona. We have a plethora of healthcare providers that do environmental medicine. So I let those folks do the heavy metal detoxes that are necessary for these folks to regain their health.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be a bit of a slow process because it takes, you know, approximately 3 to 6 or so months for all the tissues of your body to turn over. And we heal by repair, and which means new cells, getting rid of the old and getting in new.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to have good stuff. You need good enzymes, you need good essential oils, you need good minerals, etc., in order to have all the proper things on board so that when your body is in a healing stage, it has an opportunity to have the right stuff to make the right kind of cells.
And that is, it is so germane to the problem. And we just had a woman, in fact, she just finished the program. We have a 4-week program that does this just by drinking a quart of water a day. And she was so ill that she was 4 years living in the woods trying to get away from EMRs and toxic by inhalation. And I just talked with her yesterday, and I said, you know what, it looks like you're finished. And the turnaround time I'm getting is about a week for her, so it's been 4 weeks of cleansing. But it's possible to do this. It's just that people don't know. They don't really have a clue, as you said.
Well, and that's because the way the system of education has been set up to suppress the more natural / alternative ways of healing, which were the main way of healing back in the turn of the last century.
The alternatives are the medical.
That's correct. And that's the whole history of...
Who thinks of that that way? It's your perspective.
Yes, absolutely.
So you are dealing with people with very acidic bodies, probably, that have this short-circuiting from their mouth and killing them, actually. And once you take the mercury out, then it's what percentage would you say are probably better? Is it pretty good?
Boy, that's a sliding scale answer.
Depends on the person.
Small number, yes. It's a small number that has the like overnight miracle success story.
Oh yeah.
Usually, we find it's a period of as they're, we've removed the source of the electrogalvanism and the ongoing seeding of mercury, that their bodies have a chance to recover because it wants to recover.
Yes.
And most of the people that we see benefit over that period of 3 to 6 months.
And they're very grateful. At that point,
yeah, we have nice mm-hmm. testimonials from people that have come in and gone through our program, and some of them aren't even really, really sick, but they know that they have an increase of their well-being, their energy is higher, a kind of a foggy. Some people describe it as looking through the world through a Saran wrap or wax paper.
Right.
It's they have a fog, brain fog, and that
lifts. Lots of that.
Yeah, so that is able to lift.
Just to think it could be coming from your teeth. Lordy, lordy.
Yes. So, and one of the, you know, talk about ignorance is there's, you know, as much a problem with the individual coming for care not knowing, but the medical brothers of ours with the MD and DO degrees mostly are, the MD is medical deity very often, but they don't have a connection of what we see in the mouth. They don't have an appreciation for what we see going on in the mouth and the materials and things. It's just not part of their program. It's all the compartmentalization of the human body that happens when you're in medical school.
Whoa, this is so big. I'm going to take a little break here, and we'll go on with this because I have some more tough questions for you. And I want to let everyone know that these teleseminars are supported by Alt Waters Technology and Green Healthcare USA, and that Alt Waters is the manufacturer of the original all-natural system for deep cellular cleansing with water-based formulas. It's a new medicine. It's preventive medicine. And we're so pleased to be able to bring you people like Dr. Meyer, people who are making a difference on the planet, agents of change. I can get a contact. You can contact me. With this number, let me give that to you, 602-996-9753. And so now back to the show and our guest, Dr. Nicholas Meyer. His topic, biodentistry, it's time. And you know, Dr. Meyer, when I named the show, I didn't really realize that we were going to be able to live up to that title. It really is time. And I wish that we could let more people know. Actually, what we're going to be doing is archiving this show on our website. And we have people from all over the world, so we may be getting some of those also. And of course, you're going to be able to use it too. I think you're right. I think it's just a matter of education. And I talked with a lady yesterday, actually it was last night, because I teach a class to our people that we train as energy intuitives, and she was horrified because she has gone to the best dentist. She's gone all the way from here to California. That doesn't seem far when you think about people coming across the world, but to a biodentist there, and they have used composites in her teeth. And she thought that was the best because she knew about the mercury. She studies and learns. And on my scale of negative 10 to positive 10 for composites, I'm picking up a negative 1. So they are not even the best. What do you do? You know, if you want something good in your mouth, is there anything at all?
The answer is yes, and it's about how you go and approach the situation. For instance, you're talking about this woman with this composite. Everything is on a continuum again. You have things which are really, really, really bad, and then those that aren't quite so bad.
This one, I guess, is not quite so bad. Composites,
correct,
compared to what else is out there, right?
Right. Now,
if
you have opportunities to be in an area where you have practitioners, which just don't generically reach for a composite instead of a mercury filling. There are over 100 different composites on the marketplace. So they are full of different materials. Every manufacturer has kind of the same, I think, basic blend, but then they have this little additive or that additive to give it different working characteristics. Mm-hmm. So that aside, what you would want to do is find out what material is the most compatible for your body at that given time by somebody like yourself or some other energetic type practitioner that you can use a device or say some autonomic response testing or muscle testing to see what kind of response that material is going to challenge your body with. And it could be a null response. It's ideal if you would have a material that would benefit your body over and above just the mechanical aspect of it.
Now, so, each person is different then.
That's right. Everybody
because
is uniquely different.
Because some people
different.
Would, okay.
And that,
I
well,
can
just
do
look
that.
At every person on the world, on the face of the earth. They're all different.
And I can do this, and I have done it for people over the phone. Just give me the name of the deposit, composite, and I can do that. but I wasn't checking that the composites, you know, had a negative number to them. I thought they were all good. So it was what I was picking up was whether the person could tolerate it, I guess. I will do better next time.
It depends, though. So that's the question that you're asking of that particular composite. Will it be tolerated? Well, certainly a minus one is close to zero, which is a tolerable level. It's just not health supportive.
Right. I'm really interested in that now. Let me ask you about implants. I get those are negative nines in the body. Whoa, this is not good.
Well, implants are a mixed blessing in dentistry. It's the only way that we have to help people function better in their lives. And if a person cannot function at all in their dental, if they're complete dental cripples, and then they have a poor ability to masticate, chew their food, then they're going to have poor digestion, they're going to have poor absorption, and they're not going to be in a good shape from that side of the coin.
Now, root canals are about the same, aren't they?
We're
in the same situation there, because I pick up a negative nine on them too.
Well, it depends on what your parameters you're speaking about. You're looking at whatever the scale is.
Negative 10, positive 10.
No, but what is the parameter of what is it that you're measuring? I know you're giving me a number.
The effect on the, the effect on the body of an implant or a root canal.
Yeah. The mechanism of the troubles are different for each one.
Ah.
So what you're asking for is still kind of a generic issue. Certainly the best way around everything is to keep your own teeth a lifetime.
And we need to talk about that before we get off this call.
So that's probably the best thing that one can do. But most of the people out in the adult world are missing one or more teeth. And I'm not counting your wisdom teeth. So if you have strategic teeth that are missing and you need to be able to function, what do we as dentists provide to people to allow them the benefit of function?
Mm-hmm.
If you cannot masticate well, you're going to not have proper mixing of your food with saliva, which starts the whole digestive process. It won't be getting in the right consistency to have an easy swallow. It won't go into the stomach that has the right pH now, and you've got this bulk of food there, and it just continues on and on through the whole system. So what we do with the dental implants is to restore function back to an individual so that they have much more optimal mastication and all those benefits that go along with that. And I just touched on the mastication part. We have the other component from a, a cranial sacral standpoint, where you have proper functioning of the what's known as the primary cranial respiratory system. The cerebral spinal fluid is pumped from the brain housing down to the tailbone, which is another system which is reliant on proper functioning of the masticatory system itself. So they're related, intimately related. So when you get into that component of it along with the pure chewing function of it, there's a lot of good reasons to keep teeth either with a root canal or with an implant. Is it ideal? Certainly not. As I said, the best thing is to have your own teeth a lifetime. But when you can't have that, then you have to look into say, what are the risks and the benefits of having one of these other therapies that I otherwise wouldn't be able to have? So it goes back to then the other parts of the health of the individual. How well can they tolerate?
That's where I would work.
Yeah, so how well can they tolerate within their energetic being, their body, energetic body, how can they tolerate best those artificial substances such as a root canal tooth or an implant?
So pulling teeth, you don't do that a whole lot. You try to save them.
We try and save them in a healthy manner. many teeth are ill. That's why they need to be removed.
Yes.
And see, when you get into a whole conversations, Carol, regarding the stagnation of the fluid flow through a tooth. A tooth basically is actually, let me rephrase that. A tooth is basically hollow. It looks solid, but under a microscope, there's more airspace than there is structure space. From the inside of the tooth where the nerve is to the outside of the tooth is like a channel. It's like the bayous of Mississippi. So you've got your major trunk, which is the pulp, that has a certain pressure to it, which causes lymph to flow through the body of the tooth outward into the housing of the tooth, the periodontal ligament space. When a tooth dies, that flow ceases. That then becomes a stagnant swamp. That's where the bacteria start to propagate then, because there's no more flow to keep them out of the tubules. They back up and then they create their problem. And this is where the big problem with root canals are, is that they become toxic and are harmful to the enzymatic systems within our cells, most notably the mitochondria, which is responsible for energy production.
Wow.
This may be more information than you want. But.
No. I've always said teeth are alive. I said they have roots. They have blood supply. They have nerves. They're alive. And people don't get that, I don't think. I had a man several months ago who called hysterically because his dentist had just pulled 5 teeth because they were infected, and he had gone back because he was still knowing there was problems with the teeth, with his gums and teeth, and so with his mouth. And so the dentist was telling him 4 more teeth, and someone had told him to give us a call. And I said, you know what? We can cleanse the bacteria, clear up the bacteria or whatever it is that is causing the infection, and then maybe they won't have to take the teeth out. And that was the case. He saved 4 teeth. What do you think about that? That's possible? I mean, we did it. What do I know?
Well, there's an old saying, if it's been done, it's probably possible.
Okay, well, he is certainly pleased. In fact, he said he's Chinese, and he said he is wanting to bring the energy medicine formulas, actually system, to all of the Chinese people in America. And then he said he's going to take it to China because he is an entrepreneur and he has a business there and takes things into China to sell. Or out of China to sell here, probably more likely. But this was, it worked. It worked. And I'm really excited about that. So I probably work more with teeth than I know, just because of what we do, the neutralization of negatives in the body, including bacteria, including microbes. So I'm really excited about that. You're pumping me up here, Dr. Meyer. And you talked about a wellness routine. What's that all about?
Well, my reference was with respect to where I see dentistry in a wellness model. For instance, I put biological dentistry at the center of 5 balls, if you will. Microbial components, also known as biofilm illnesses. The heavy metal components, such as mercury and copper and molybdenum and silver. Biomechanical aspects known as temporomandibular disorders, as well as airway problems. The next one is root canal treatment. So we have these sources of retained infection and also blockage of the acupuncture meridian energy system. And then the incompatible dental materials, which we touched on with some composites.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not just incompatible materials of mercury, but there are composites that are incompatible with people because of the nature of the stuff that's in it.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of the composite issue is that many manufacturers will have, I say, a family of composites. then we find that even within the family of composites, not all the composites are compatible to that individual.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So therein is an issue. What is the safest material to put back into the hole in a tooth, the cavity preparation, so that then we have a health-supporting material rather than a health-detracting material?
I have just added to my, I do energy scans for people all over the world, intuitive scans. I've just added teeth to that. I had structural atlas and spine, which, you know, we can cleanse, but we can't put them back together again. And I just this past week added teeth to my chart. And you've just given me 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things to check for people. So I think you're going to be getting some more business, Dr. Meyer. I mean, sending some people over to you. Bless your heart. Do you suggest diet and nutrition to people?
Regularly we do. It's not as much, for instance, as if you go to a wellness counselor who's very much into diet, but I do counsel on diet and
anti-sugar.
Very much anti-sugar. I promote xylitol and stevia, are two
very good
two sweeteners, which you know, people, those are more health supportive. Xylitol, for instance, we have seen reverse cavities in the early stages, so they can remineralize the tooth structure. So we recommend those pretty frequently for people.
I could add xylitol frequencies to my formulas. Interesting. Thank you. I will do that today. I didn't know they reverse cavities. That would be helpful.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's a sugar alcohol. I don't know all how it works, but it does do
but it.
It
works, and it's a zero. It isn't good or bad. It's not harmful. It's not good, great. I mean, it's not good, but it's not bad either.
Right.
So we're at that zero point. And if
it's kind of like the, yeah, the
if it remineralizes teeth, that's the good part, huh?
Yes, uh-huh.
I like that. I was thinking that when I walk into a dentist's office, and I don't do it terribly often, I see that there's a lot of technology there, modern day stuff that I'm sure, you know, not even too many years back you wouldn't see in a dentist's office. Do you use much of the new technology?
We in our practice, we have some of the most up-to-date equipment that's available to modern dentistry. Probably the biggest change has been the use of a three-dimensional CT scanning device that has the ability to take a complete workable image in, I think it's 14 seconds. And it's a low radiation. Unfortunately, we can't get away from radiation in dentistry, but it's a very, very low radiation device. But it has the ability to peer into areas in ways that we never were able to readily look in much before. So when I bought my unit about 3.5 years ago, was only the second one of its kind in a private office in Arizona.
Mm.
They had only been found before in laboratories because there were so few in numbers.
I think that's what I went through.
Yes, it is. And so we brought that in-house, and I can look at anything very well, three-dimensionally, the airway, the sinuses, the jaw joints, the different parts of the bone. It's really a fantastic tool. It does have its shortcomings, but it can everything else, there's no one perfect tool that's in the market. So it's a very great tool that we have.
Do you use lasers at all?
I have several different lasers in the practice. The lasers, by their nature, have, how can I say this? They're driven by their wavelength. So the different wavelengths that are in dental use of lasers have different actions on tissues. So depending on, so I have lasers. I have, two different wavelength lasers that we use regularly in the practice. One is for cutting or also biostimulation at a high level of energy. The others are low-level lasers, which have they're non-heat producing, and they have very little energy behind it, but they're very good on soft tissue lesions. So each one has its own benefit, and there's not one laser that can do everything in dentistry.
Do you use them? Do you have to use those very often? Do you like to use them? Are they helpful?
Well, sure. It's a tool. You know, mm-hmm. it's they have their place. They're not for everybody.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting this, the cold, I'm saying cold lasers. You mentioned that some are not heat. The cold lasers are -1, not bad. Not too bad. And I was interested that your 3D CT scanner is -1. Not bad.
Mm-hmm. So there
I
you
mean,
go.
I mean, if you have to have radiation.
Well, even a laser is radiation. It's
yes.
just not ionizing.
Right.
The sun is radiation.
Oh,
the
we
light bulbs
certainly
in
know
your
that
house,
one.
The light bulbs in your house are radiation.
Mm-hmm.
It's just
and our
not
body
ionizing.
Accumulates, and we're getting trouble, deep trouble with the accumulation. We work with that one, too. This is really exciting. Are those your two biggest techie pieces of equipment?
Oh, heavens no.
Oh, I have more. Looks
yeah,
like
you know,
it.
They're all on each one. Unfortunately, there's not one device that will do everything in dentistry. But they have different applications. So for a particular application, we have a tool that does that job very well. Now, if I had to give something up, I would not want to give up my 3D CAT scan. That is a powerful diagnostic tool that covers a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mentioned earlier electromyography. That is a more limited application that we have for people, but it's a very good tool for those people that need that. So there's a much broader application of people that have a need for the CT scan than there is for people that need the electromyography or the ultrasound that we have in the practice for diagnostics.
Oh, so much good coming up. Does it look like dentistry is going to change? What do you see the future of dentistry? I hope.
Well, there is a movement. There was a brand new organization just had their kickoff meeting, and it had to do with, it was built around biofilms. And that was a fantastic change. It's a brand new organization, and it's a group that recognizes the change. Oh, it's called the American Academy of Oral Systemic Health.
Ooh.
And they built that whole organization around periodontology, which is gums, and heart disease.
That's good. That is so good.
As the organizing theme of the organizing theme of the organization.
That is certainly, it's certainly futuristic.
Yes. So, there's an article in the one of the periodontal journals that said oral biofilm disease is the number one cost to help prevent cardiovascular disease because there's so much inflammation in the mouth that it assaults the coronary arteries. Mm-hmm. You can also have problems with rheumatoid arthritis, diabetes, hypertension, high cholesterol, all components of cardiovascular disease.
And we deal with inflammation big time because we feel that it is the root cause of blocks to wellness. So we deal with that one. I wasn't thinking about inflammation in the mouth, but this it surely would be taken care of also. This is really exciting. All of the things that you've been saying, my people have to hear this, and we're going to be sending out a blast so everybody will know that they can go online Thursday night online. They can call in. Yeah, I guess a telephone is a line. Can call in, and we'll let you get that information out to your people too. And of course, we'll have it online archived. So I don't have to teach it now. You have just done an amazing job. So it's time for us to wrap up the show. I can honestly say that I have learned so much tonight, and you are such a good teacher. We should let our listeners know that that you're also an excellent writer. You've written for our foundation newsletter, Energy Threads, and in the last issue, it was a fascinating article about Dr. Hal Huggins, and we didn't say very much about him tonight. I think he was mentioned. He's always in the back of my mind. I have his book that is named It's All in Your Head, and he was talking about Mercury, and I think he got in deep trouble with that, didn't he, for telling the truth?
Yes, he did. He did lose his license in Colorado over that, and it actually left him more free to discuss more publicly in many different forms than that which he holds dear to his heart, and which is educating people about the problems of things which go on in the mouth.
And he is he was a pioneer in this. How long ago? You trained under him, or you learned from him?
Yes, I'm the only dentist in Arizona that is one of his Huggins Alliance dentists, and we subscribe to his particular protocol of safe amalgam removal that he endorses me in here in Arizona.
That's exciting. And then you did another article, which will be in our next Energy Threads newsletter, and it's very thought-provoking. It's about dentistry and religion.
Yes, it is. Dentistry is a religion, and there are so many parallels between what would be known as organized religion, like Catholicism or Judaism and Buddhism, etc., with dentistry that I thought it would be a timely, thought-provoking article to write.
It was, and you are such a good writer. So our people can check that out at altwaters.com and click on Energy Threads. That's the newsletter. And it isn't up yet, but it will be soon. And it is another great article. You are such a good writer. So we will be archiving this whole show and on our website also. So before we let you go, please tell our listeners how to find you when they need a really good dentist.
And they can find me in Scottsdale, Arizona. The phone number, the local number, is 480-948-0560. Again, that's 480-948-0560. We have a toll-free number, 888-948-0560. That's 888-948-0560. And our website is www.milldental, MILLDENTAL.com. That's short for millennium. So many people couldn't spell millennium. So I
very
chose
good.
To have a shorter name. And
it works.
That works. It's been there. I've had a website up for close to 8 years now, and it's changed certainly over the years. I've added to it, subtracted from it, but it certainly gives a good flavor of what to expect when you come to the office. It's geared around having an educated clientele when they come to the office. I've spent a lot of the energy on basic education so that when people do come to the office, hopefully they've had enough time to review the materials on our website, which many do, and then we can have more meaningful conversations with them.
And I have that feel about your office too. It's really different. It's very homey. You take time with your people, took a lot of time with me. to sit down and talk, and I just really appreciated that. And so thank you again for being who you are and doing what you do, and thank you for sharing with us tonight.
You're very welcome, Carol, and I look forward to some time in the future then with you.
Look at my teeth. That too. Okay, very good. And this was Dr. Nicholas Meyer that you were hearing speaking to us from his office in Scottsdale, Arizona. His topic was biodentistry, it's time. And this is Carol Kepler, your host, with blessings. Until we meet again.